Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons. In this week's episode, I'm very excited to have my friend Emma Dowling, who is one of Ireland's original prenatal and postnatal coaches. This conversation wasn't actually planned, so it might seem a little unstructured, but I think you can tell it's something we are both very passionate about. I wanted to talk about prenatal training in a long format, as I'm sure you'll realise it's quite nuanced and different for everybody and every pregnancy. So I hope you find it helpful, and if you do, please do share it with your friends or family or anybody that might find it helpful too. And I'd hugely appreciate a review too, if you have a few seconds. And this podcast is sponsored once again by Whoop. As you may know, I am very passionate about women's health, and a big mistake I see people making is overtraining and under recovering. The Whoop helps you decide whether you need to rest or recover, because, you know, we all know the benefits of increasing our fitness, but the Whoop helps to realise the benefits of lower intensity training or recovery practices too. I love seeing the benefits of my naps. So if you would like to get started tracking your health, wellness and fitness at a deeper level today, go to join.whoop.com/Siobhan to get your first month free and a free Whoop 4.0 device. That's join.whoop.com/Siobhan, and I'll have a link in the show notes. Thank you in advance to anyone who supports the sponsors of the show, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, welcome, Emma.
Thank you for having me today.
I know, the usual podcast chat. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this one. It's obviously really applicable to me at the moment and what I'm getting asked about. So for context, I did the prenatal training program with Girls Gone Strong last year. How many years have you been doing this?
So I did my first qualification nearly 6 years ago.
Amazing.
After I had Jacob, yeah.
And like, that must have been a bit at the time, like, there couldn't have been too many people talking about training.
No, there really wasn't. I was definitely one of the first in Ireland to kind of see the gap in the market, see the niche and run at it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you say it was before Jacob or after Jacob?
Just after Jacob, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you were like, this needs to be done. You were missing. Yeah.
It was something I was missing.
Yeah.
You know, even with my personal training qualifications and my own training experience, I did not have any idea how to rehabilitate my postnatal body.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, for me, I didn't realize the ignorance. Like, I honestly, you know, I had my course, I was training lots and lots of women, and I think, you know, I was in this mindset that I wasn't going to have kids. So I just never paid that much attention to it. You know, like, we had this, like, I knew we needed to, like, especially as the people who followed me got older and were having kids, and I noticed a lot in clients, and I was actually referring clients on to other people, even mm-hmm. to you, when they had specific, or they were just even pre or postnatal, or even if they had any issues, you know, I'd just refer them on. And eventually I was like, okay, there's enough people here that I should really understand this myself. Mm-hmm. So did that course. But if anything, it scared me away from having kids even more, because I was like, what? All this happens to the body. I couldn't believe it. Like, I actually was like, wow, women go through a lot.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that we, you know, before that I had thought, oh yeah, you just do a few Kegels and then
take it handy.
Yeah. And again, of course, then when I was pregnant and I realized, obviously, I wanted to keep training, I couldn't do my jiu-jitsu. Like, there's some obvious things that I know, like, even with common sense, it was like, okay, don't do anything high impact. Not high impact, as in impacting me, as in jiu-jitsu, you get your knees on the belly and hold it there as hard as possible. So,
okay.
You know, that
we might skip that.
Yeah, that was, I knew that was out. But what I found, so then I was like, okay, let's remember. I was like, I can't really remember the exact details of the course, so I'll just start Googling things and to remind myself. And I was like, there's no definite answers here at all. If anything, I was like, I can't do anything anymore. Like, everything, there seemed to be a reason not to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to give my bit of background here where I'm coming from. But then I've kind of made it my goal or mission over the last couple of months is to understand why there might be this rule for the female body, and then make a decision for myself whether it's suitable to me, or, you know, whether it applies to me.
And that is the thing. A lot of the information out on the internet is very grey.
Yeah,
there's not much black or white information, and that makes it really difficult, especially if you don't have much of a training background, especially if you don't have the kind of similar knowledge of, you know, what happens to the body, but also similar knowledge of your own body. Like, I'd say we're pretty in tune with what's happening with our body because of our training backgrounds and that. So if you're missing those two pieces, it's really hard to know. And really, it does a lot of the time come down to the individual.
Yeah, and I mean, we both have a background in CrossFit. So, yeah. And like, obviously that's such a great sport to be doing in terms of like building muscle, strength, flexibility, mobility, everything. But it's also, there's a lot of room for error there, and a lot of, especially when you want to be careful when you're feeling extra vulnerable. And like, this is what we always get asked, you know, what are the exercises to do prenatally? And I just couldn't, I wanted to add something into the furnace where I just had a list of exercises that you can do prenatally. But then I was looking at little things, it was like bird dogs. And I was like, no, wait, I still want to train. Yeah. Like, I still want to actually get my heart rate up.
Yeah.
And the rule I took, you know, the one that thing that I could finally get some confirmation of maybe online was rate of perceived exertion, and to go to like a 7 to 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which I liked because it was quite subjective. You know, it wasn't just giving me a certain number, because I saw someone say before that it used to be like 140 BPM for your heart rate. And
what
that
does
was
that
me.
Look like? How can you even figure that out?
Well, I mean, I was looking at my heart rate going for a jog, and it was at 150, and then you're like, "Am I doing something wrong?"
No, yeah.
And like, of course, everyone's heart rates are so different and would affect them so differently. So, it's good to see things are changing all the time, but it is hard. Do you find it hard to give general advice?
I think a lot of people, you know, working at that kind of conversational pace, that 75% works really, really well for them. And everybody's rate of perceived exertion is going to be depending on where their fitness level is at. So it's really kind of scalable as well.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if that is the kind of rule that you go by, as your energy levels change throughout the pregnancy or throughout the days of the pregnancy, if you just kind of stick to that rule, you're in a pretty safe place. That 75%, that conversational pace, is a good kind of rule of thumb, I suppose, to go by. But then that new research has come out recently, in the last couple of weeks only, that, you know, it is actually safe for women who have a training background to push their intensities much higher, 90% plus.
Yeah.
I think what they did in the study was 1 minute of 90% plus for a minute, and then a minute rest for 10 rounds. Like, that's a serious workout.
Maximum. Yeah,
that's a serious workout. And then they monitored somebody else in the control group that it was a like continual.
Yeah. I think they said a moderate pace.
A moderate pace, continual training at the conversational 64% to 75% pace. And there was no difference.
Yeah. And they were monitoring like the fetal heart rate,
the blood flow to the mother, blood flow to the fetus, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I read that and my first panic was like, oh, so I actually have to train harder. Like, I was like, no excuses anymore.
Yeah, but it is. It's really interesting. And you know, like, then we have like Tia Claire Toomey, like fittest woman in the world, serious CrossFit athlete. I think she's in her second pregnancy.
I think it was her first pregnancy.
And God, she was getting serious pushback online.
I couldn't believe it.
Posting her workouts. And I really just kind of thought, like, this woman is not your average human.
Yeah.
Like, she is.
And
a
she's
serious,
not going to take advice off people in the comments. Like, she's clearly
a person on the internet. She has a huge team behind her.
Yeah, and like, that kind of gets me going because it's like the comments are insinuating that she's almost being selfishly training instead of putting her child
first. She's
putting
her ego before her baby.
And that's what really gets me. I'm like, stop. You know, like, because the people in the comments are like, I'm just so concerned for the baby, or like, but, and I'm like, it's condescending. You're not putting the trust that this woman is doing the best for her and her baby, and obviously has like amazing doctors and physicians or whatever around her. You know, she's making informed decisions.
Yeah.
But again, I can see the fear. You know, my mom says she finds it really hard to watch my training videos, and, you know, she puts it down to, you know, she was doing a lot when my little brother was born, and he was born a couple of weeks early. And she thinks that, you know, she's doing a lot at the time. So like, that's, you know, everyone has a different experience and what they've heard and what they know. So I try and explain why I would do something, or, you know, how it's actually really beneficial.
Mm.
And I really, even anecdotally, I took a week off training last week or when I was in Portugal, and I really felt like, oh God, I'm heavy now. Or like, I really felt heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
And I just thought I was just getting further along the pregnancy. And then I came back and started going training again. I was like, oh, actually, my body feels better when I train.
Yeah. And I think it's so important, especially as coaches, that, you know, our clients are not us. You know, even though we've experienced pregnancies and I've experienced different types of pregnancies, we need to keep talking to the person. We need to keep checking in with them, even if it is an online client. How did that exercise feel? How did any modifications we made feel? How did the pelvic floor feel afterwards? How did your energy levels feel afterwards? Like Tia Claire Toomey, I'm sure if she went really hard in a workout, her coaches and her medical staff the next day, if she's like, I was in bed for the day after that, like, they're probably like, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
Do you know? So it is just...
And actually, that's really a good point to make, is like, let's talk about why these kind of different advice or rules are in place. Like even what you said about the moderate pace, is it right to say that we're trying to keep the baby's heart, like the baby's heart rate is much higher than ours anyway, and is it right in saying that we're trying not to go too high with our heart rate because it'll overheat?
I think it's core body temperature is a lot of us, and I think as well, like, our heart rate is naturally elevated in pregnancy as well, so maybe that's why. But I think as well, it's probably just, it hasn't been studied.
Yeah.
It's been fear-based.
This is everything. Like, you know, it's like, there's no proof that it's bad, but there's no, because they, you know, a lot of people aren't going to volunteer to, you know, be a test subject in pregnancy for, but I, and that's why it's great seeing like that recent study. I think there was like 15 people in it or something, but like, it's great to see. And I'd probably be the same. I'm like showing that, you know, I probably am pushing myself a little bit past what the rules that I knew were.
But you know you're able for it. And you know how you feel afterwards.
Yeah, I know how to feel. Yeah. And there are some days where I'm like, you know, especially when there's a rower in it and I'm like, I know I can go really fast on this. And but again, it's great then to see new research coming out saying it's actually okay
it
and
is
it is beneficial.
Okay.
I'm very wary on my page to, like, I'm trying to show the benefits of it to encourage people, but obviously there's so many people who have, you know, their doctors have told them not to for good reason. You know, they might have a higher risk pregnancy or any reason, that like they could be very sick or their body isn't just letting them train. So it's kind of, you don't want to, I feel like I don't want to preach too much, because I know actually a girl I know who used to train a lot, but again, she was told by her doctor to go like bed rest.
Yeah.
And she said like her head is suffering more than anything. And
it's so tough. I've been there on my twin pregnancy. In the first trimester, I was really, really sick and I had to do 7 weeks total bed rest, like not even empty a dishwasher kind of bed rest.
Wow.
So it was really tough. And I remember the midwife being like, you know, you can go on the sick for a couple of weeks and put the feed up. I was like, I'm a self-employed personal trainer. She was like, oh, that's going to be interesting. Best of luck.
Oh,
so
God.
It was so tough from a work stance, but more so from like a mental headspace stance. And actually, I don't think I've ever been in as much pain in my life.
Yeah.
My joints were so sore, my back was sore, my pelvis was sore. Like, I just needed to move, needed to train, but I just couldn't.
And did you find any pushback from the doctors or midwives about like going back to training? Did you, do you find that with, like, the midwife said to me when I said I was personal trainer, she said, oh God, now be careful with those weights.
Yeah.
And like, I looked up the HSE website and it's like, don't lift over 16 kilos or you might go into labor.
Oh,
I only saw that recently and was like, oops. So that's on the HSE website. So
wow.
did you ever find any pushback when you're talking to your doctors?
No, actually, it was really encouraging. Once they were like, look, you can move again, you can, you know, you're safe to do like a bit of training, like, please don't go mad. They were really encouraging, I have to say.
Yeah.
Especially on the twin pregnancy, like, I really found the narrative was all very positive from like a training point of view. Like, I was really like kind of pushing to try and get a C-section on that delivery as well. I was really, really worried about having a vaginal delivery. And because of all of the different I suppose scenarios that can happen with a twin delivery. And they were like, no, like, they were really, you know,
good.
Confident and really like, no, I think a vaginal delivery is going to be a really good option for you. And do you know, even if twin two does turn and you have to deliver her breech, like, it'll be fine. And it was really, really good. Really
great.
Really,
I mean, it is nice to hear that things are changing.
And that wasn't just, I was in the public sector as well, so I was constantly meeting loads of doctors, loads of midwives.
Yeah.
It was really, the narrative across the board was like, no, like, this should be, you're going to be well able for this, like, second delivery, do you know?
Yeah, because
so
I've met
really
a couple of midwives like that. I mean, you know, like, seeing different midwives all the time.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the odd one, you're just like, CrossFit? And they're like, what? And I'm like, CrossFit, yeah, like it sounds like an elite sport, but of course I'm going in and I'm scaling everything. Like,
and
I'm really enjoying
CrossFit.
Having
this, it's so like indefinitely scalable.
Yeah,
you
can
be in
it no matter if you're pregnant or not.
Yeah,
like you can
brilliant.
Be any ability and find a way to make a workout work for you.
Absolutely. And that's what I always say, you know, when someone says like that famous question, like, what's the best exercise for pregnancy? It's not the exercise, it's how you do the exercise. It's,
yeah.
you know, like looking at your breath work, looking at your alignment, looking at even your stance, depending on like how your pelvis is at the time. There's so many different considerations into it.
Yeah. So let's actually go into that.
Yeah.
So we talked about the heart rate there. So the other obviously big concern is the pelvic floor.
Yeah.
I've never learned so much about the pelvic floor. I just was like, I think, again, I'm always very lucky because even people who don't have kids can have issues with incontinence and everything. And I didn't know some people were going through this. Like, I felt I was very lucky, and I still think I have a strong pelvic floor. But we need to be careful in obviously the muscles are getting loose. I feel like it's a battle between trying
it's
to keep them strong.
It's such a delicate balance.
Yeah,
and flexible.
Mm. And that's, you could do a whole podcast on pelvic floor, but I think with training is making sure that you're not feeling too much downward pressure on it. And that's where jumping, like for a while I was still skipping, like really light skipping, but you know, like barely coming off the floor. I know some girls in class were like, I can't even skip and I'm not pregnant because, you know, they probably have a weaker pelvic floor.
Yeah.
So that's another big consideration when you're choosing exercises. But again, it depends on probably the time of what trimester you're in.
Like, it does. It depends on the individual. It depends on the trimester. It depends really much on the trimester, actually, because obviously the bigger the bump, the bigger the baby, the bigger the pressure that the whole pelvic kind of girdle
is. I cut out running really early. I was like, oh dear, can't run.
Yeah, I still cut out running.
I'm
like, no.
I know, I'm like, oh, I can't do that, I'm pregnant. They're like, I'm sure you can. It's the assault bike. I'm like, no.
Yeah, but there is, you know, when it comes to things like that, I'm always like, what's the risk versus reward? Like, why don't you just pick a low impact thing?
And
you
to be
know?
Fair, the one of the coaches in Perpetua, he was good. Like, ages ago, it was only a 200 meter run, and I was like, and it was outside, and I was like, that's a nice day, I'll just jog it. And then then someone actually tripped, and he was like, we need you to stay inside, because that's another consideration.
Yeah,
obviously,
of course.
Tripping. So like, that's where I take out box jumps or even burpees over the bar. I'm stepping over because you know it's just on a trip.
Yeah.
So like, that's another big consideration when you're choosing exercises. Is like, okay, is there a chance that I can fall and have any impact on my stomach? And that's why, like, horse riding or
even rope climbs, like, you know, it's as you say, there's such an element of common sense to this stuff.
Yeah. So it's not a list of exercises that you can or can't do. It's like, that's what I want to try and get through on the podcast, is how to decide yourself whether it's suitable for you. And is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So like, trip, something like heart rate, pelvic floor, like making sure. And I think with the pelvic floor, like, that's, if anything, it's not something to be focused on when you're training. It's more about something to be doing outside of training.
Yeah,
you know,
and
doing,
I would always say, like,
squeezes.
Definitely, like, prep your pelvic floor for your training sessions. So I would always encourage my pregnant and postnatal clients, any of my clients as well who maybe are rehabilitating prolapse, anything like that, before every single session they do, even if that's like going out for a long walk, going out for a run, anything like that, you need to do your core connection breath work before your session. So that's getting your diaphragm and your pelvic floor working in synchronicity with each other. And that means that then during the session, once you focus on your breath work, once you're focusing on that exhale through the effort, your pelvic floor is hopefully going to be reflexively lifting.
Yeah.
Because we've got them working in sync. I'm sure you feel now your diaphragm's not moving. It's so hard to move because everything's been pushed up. Like, those deep breaths, I'll never forget it. It's so hard. It's really hard because your diaphragm really has nowhere to go in pregnancy.
Yeah.
So we have that to battle with. So we're just trying to get a little bit of connection with that in the pelvic floor. And then postnatally, it's retraining.
Yeah. We're going to go on to postnatal.
So I think it's just really important to say, like, before every session, you need to do like a pelvic floor prime session almost. And then go into your workout. If during your workout you're symptom free, so no pressure through the pelvic floor, no leaking, no pain, no kind of dragging, anything like that through the pelvic floor, exhaling on the effort is fine to keep you going. If you start seeing symptoms, we might add some pelvic squeezes in on the exercise.
Yeah.
But again, it's very individual. Exercises that we might probably be more inclined to do that kind of, you know, cueing an actual pelvic floor squeeze would be deep core exercises, overhead pressing exercises, actually a lot of people can become symptomatic on. And I think pre-knowing what I know now, I would have always thought like squats, like lower body stuff, is obviously going to put more pressure on the pelvic floor, but it's actually, I think, more like your kind of core, torso and upper body stuff.
Yeah.
Sense.
And actually, one of the rules that I came across the internet and probably in the course was about pressing overhead in pregnancy.
Okay.
And I that's one I'm actually not sure of what the reason is behind that.
I think the reasoning behind it is that when you press overhead, all of the blood flow is coming down to the heart, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's something that needs to be considered, to be honest. I think it's a little bit of an urban myth or a fable.
Yeah, because I've still been doing that, and you know, again, because I know that if I do feel dizzy, I'll obviously stop doing it. Or
I've never met a pregnant woman who feels dizzy pressing weight overhead. The main thing with pressing overhead actually is that a lot of the time, because of the lack of core connection, because obviously our like abdominal separation, which is a really natural thing in pregnancy, when we press overhead, it's like our core brakes are gone. So we tend to kind of start shifting forward.
You've got the anterior.
Yeah, we're just pushing forward because our core isn't locked down. Our ribs are flared.
Yeah.
So that's more what I'd see with pressing overhead. So if I had a client in a standing position saying doing like a dumbbell or a barbell overhead press and that was starting to happen, I'd get her seated.
Yeah, that's what I did today.
So she can't do that.
I sat in the box.
And reduce the weight.
Presses, yeah, because it was more so because I was feeling kind of lazy, and I know that I'll let my ribs flare a bit more if I'm not seated.
Yeah,
so it's just kind of,
and then all that pressure into your lower back. So it is like alignment is just so key, and it's hard to stay aligned when you're pregnant.
Yeah, you're, like really it's an effort to
and
like, that's what I actually struggle a lot with walking. Like something that I used to do. And to be fair, I still do a lot of steps, like just in day-to-day life. But I rarely go out for a walk as much now because, like, I go to CrossFit, no bother. So but, like, funny. Walk on the canal, I'm like, don't know, waddling now.
Yeah, but the walking, like, puts a massive amount of pressure down through our pelvic floor. And especially, like, a longer walk, that continual, like, gravity.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And because you know, people are probably listening, not watching, but the pelvic floor basically tilts forward, which makes the muscles at the bottom of your back a lot tighter.
Yeah.
And which is pressure. So then,
forward,
so it's like, you know, sticking your chest out and belly out or bum out, you know, like, and trying to walk like that. Like, you're obviously going to feel in pain. And then but I've kind of been very conscious of it to try and, like,
stay aligned as much as possible. Kind of pelvic neutral. Finding pelvic neutral is really important as well. So that's how what I think about overhead pressing. If you're staying aligned when you're doing it, if you're feeling okay when you're doing it, it's all good.
Okay, next let's talk about the core, like twisting and stuff like that. So obviously we take out any like V-ups and all this, anything that's like any sharp twisting movements on the core, is that fair to say?
So I think the core focus kind of changes in pregnancy specifically to working our deep core.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is with using our breath. And when I was pregnant and someone said this to me, I was like, I was an Olympic weightlifter. Like, I know how to breathe. And I totally disregarded it. I was like, this woo woo rubbish. Like, but guys, it's really important to know how to breathe properly.
I never knew. I mean, same. Like, when I was like, what do you mean the pelvic floor goes up when you breathe out? Like, I just didn't make sense. I'd never thought about it, but obviously I was doing it, but like I never thought about it.
So training our core through our breath work is probably one of the best things that you can do in pregnancy, even for like back pain, pelvic pain, all of that kind of stuff, but as well to reinforce your postnatal recovery on the other side. If you've been doing your breath work and your pelvic squeezes, depending on if they are kind of prescribed to you by a women's health physio, because not everybody needs to be doing pelvic squeezes all the time. A lot of people have a really tight pelvic floor. That's another question. the breath work is really, really powerful and really, really good because it works like our deep core, it works like all of our ribs, our TA muscle, which really takes a hammering in pregnancy. So it's a great thing to do.
Like when I was doing the yoga, I was doing yoga teacher training, and it was it was a very short part on pregnancy.
Okay.
But they talk about not doing any closed twists.
So Tell me what that is.
But again, so that's twist. Like when you're like, say, one leg hooked over your one elbow, say, hooked over your leg, where you're in a deep twist in the middle. But now, so my understanding of this, again, correct, I'm just throwing ideas at you, you can tell me I'm right or wrong.
That's okay.
So the linea alba is that
fascia.
Fascia, yeah. It's like, it's not muscle, it's fascia between the two, like the, between the ab, the walls of your abs.
The rectus abdominis,
I was trying to keep it simple. Not that I didn't know the letters.
The six pack muscles.
And that obviously has to open and stretch a bit in pregnancy.
Yeah, and
you're trying to limit that.
Yeah, and it is going to open and stretch. A lot of people think it separates. It actually doesn't. Think of like a balloon.
Yeah.
You know, it literally is just like that thinning of the linea alba to make room for the growing baby. What was the question?
So, like with some exercises, we're kind of concerned about like doming or coning and stretching
and the extra pressure out on that. Yeah. So it is going to stretch. We don't want it to excessively stretch more than it has to. A lot of core exercises, and it's really actually easy to see in pregnancy when
I can see it now,
when the intra-abdominal pressure is off, because there's a big gap here. So where's the pressure going to go? If it's not down into your pelvic floor, it's going to go out. That will look like a kind of bread loaf shape through the bump, or like a Toblerone down through the center of it.
Yeah.
If you are seeing that in an exercise scenario, it means that something really isn't working there, and that you might just need to reevaluate how you're doing it. So you might need to, talking about core specific work, you might need to reduce the range that you're working to. You might need to change the movement. You might need to bring in a pelvic squeeze. That can sometimes be enough to just balance the pressure again. And you might just need to change your breathing through it.
Because there was one of those things that I saw at the start. I was like, don't do planks. And didn't, I was like, why not? I was like, I thought, you know, we're trying to protect, you know, trying to build a core or keep the core as strong as possible. But then I understood that it's probably later in pregnancy when you can see these things happening. It's like, that's when you can, and you can kind of test it now. So that's what I liked, like understanding, okay, why I'm not, it says not to do plank. It's because we're trying to avoid, you know, stretching linea alba.
Yeah.
So then when I know that, I'm like, okay, like I was able to then monitor like throughout my pregnancy, but like I can still plank. And now I'm like, okay, no planks. Because I can see that happening. Like, and it's not, it doesn't feel dead. It's not like, oh God, no, it's happened. It's like, okay, I can see a little bit of coning there.
For later. I'm like, still plank if you want to.
just plank it from my knees, which it doesn't really feel like a plank, but.
Yeah.
And the same with like push-ups and stuff, like even, like push-ups, I was afraid.
Push-ups
of.
Is a tricky one to maintain that pressure. It's really tricky.
Yeah, I've only been doing it. So now, like at the time, I was reducing down either to my knees or elevating to a box. But even today, it just felt more pressure. So like I was only then just reducing the range of motion. I was doing them on my knees, but literally just doing half the range.
Yeah.
So it's still, you know, getting the chest and shoulders worked, but just reducing the range to what's right for my body.
To protect the core.
And like for someone else, that could be weight, like even a half rep could be too much for them and the pressure on their core. So it's about kind of
And it's another one where sometimes if you engage the pelvic floor before you initiate the push-up, before you go, you might be able to hold the pressure.
Yeah.
Maybe more so postnatally, but...
Yeah. No, actually... So I hope that makes sense. Like, it's. I hope no one was like listening to this going, okay, tell me what exercises to do.
You
can do everything, but just adjustments.
Like, I love compound lifts in pregnancy. I love squats, deadlifts, pressing, pulling, like get loads and loads of pulling, because all that forward weight of boobs and bump growing, we just want to counteract that with like a really nice strong back, and like a strong back in pregnancy, like
great.
Could you actually and a strong pelvic floor, if you have those two things, you're doing really well.
I know it's a bit of a vicious circle. Like I feel like there's people who are in pain but can't train, but like would probably feel better if they could train.
Yeah,
and it's hard to,
and it is, they just need that one-to-one work as well if they're doing that, or like work with a physio. Amazing women's health physios. If there's anyone out there who is thinking like, what's one thing that I can do to like, you know, get the best experience of my pregnancy and my delivery and my postnatal recovery, is women's health physio.
Yeah. I went even for a checkup with Aoife Harvey, and
I love Aoife. She's great.
Yeah, she's brilliant, like really entertaining on Instagram as well. But because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't doing too much, because that was the other this concept someone always said to me, or again I only saw it online in the last week or two. I'm like, oh yeah. And someone just said, because I was kind of confused, I'm like, I'm doing all the stuff to make sure I have a strong pelvic floor, but then someone said the pelvic floor has to get out of the way when you're having the baby.
Yeah.
Technically what you need is an absolute, like the cervix does the pushing and the pelvic floor just needs to be relaxed.
Yeah, just like let gravity
do its
thing.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's what we're doing. And so the pelvic floor, I'm like prepping it for more so for postnatal. It's nothing to do with the actual birth.
Yeah.
it's having control of it to be able to relax it as well. So
it's so hard.
And that's what I suppose some people have where they've got, is it hypertonic?
Hypertonic, pelvic floor. So that's basically, say, like a really tight pelvic floor. And a lot of the time, you know, if you are experiencing leaking, it is because it's a hypertonic pelvic floor, not that you've got pelvic floor weakness. Your pelvic floor, it's not like too strong, it's too tight, do you know? And it's presenting as leaking. But in a childbirth kind of scenario, and I actually experienced this on my first delivery with Jacob, I didn't do Kegels throughout that pelvic floor or through that pregnancy, because I did kind of feel like I'd never had any pelvic floor issues, even in weightlifting, when I'd be like lifting like really heavy weights. Like I never, like it would have been quite common for girls on my team to like wet themselves during this. So I never had that. So I was like, I think my pelvic floor is okay. But something kind of told me like, you don't need to be doing these. And thank God I didn't, because when I was in having them, the midwife was like, at one point she was like, what do you do? And Sam, my husband, who was also my weightlifting coach, was like, she was a competitive Olympic weightlifter before she got pregnant. And she was like, her pelvic floor, like this baby is like struggling to get through. Gosh. Like his heart rate actually started to drop. And she was like, I'm going to give you two more pushes to get him out, or else we're going to have to bring you up for a section. Like, so.
Wow.
That was the first time. Not an ideal time to be told you have a tight pelvic floor.
Just try relaxing now. Yeah.
But it all worked out absolutely fine. But yeah.
Yeah. If you're having any issues, like as we said, go to
a physio. But even if you're not, go and see a physio. Yeah. It'll be the best money you have ever spent.
Yeah. I didn't even know they existed. Until this year. I was like, what do you mean women's health? They're like, oh God. Now I'm like, oh my God, they're worth their weight in gold.
They are amazing. So after my experience with Jacob, and obviously all of my experience with my own training and stuff, as in from a coaching perspective in the pre and postnatal kind of sector, I was obsessed with my pelvic floor.
Yeah, that's what I was getting,
like,
a bit
as flexible as possible going into the twins delivery, especially when the hospital were kind of really pushing the vaginal delivery in a very like encouraging way. So I went to Elaine Barry, she's a physio in Bray, and I went to her a couple of times, and oh my God, my delivery with the twins was just, honestly, it was easier than my singleton delivery.
Really?
Yeah, it went so well. And the midwives were like, you know, your pelvic floor is great. I'm so thrilled. Yeah. All of that paid off.
There was a stage where like I was reading with the pelvic floor, then do my pelvic floor exercises, and then you know, going for a walk. I was like, I am obsessed with my pelvic floor. Obsessed, like I've literally never thought about it before. Now
I know,
obsessed.
And even like old perineal massage and all, like I never did it. Because I just was like, I just can't be doing that. Like,
I know,
I actually thought
about it.
And then someone was like, get Sam 30. To do it. I was like, oh my God, can we just keep a shred of mystery in this?
I actually got Dara to read the book where it says that. Because I didn't tell him directly. I was like, read the book.
So actually, I used to go to Elaine for Elaine to do it. I'd be like, I'd rather just pay you the money to do this. It was honestly like the best. But even when she was doing it, I was like, oh my God, I can feel so much tension there. Do you know?
Okay, yeah.
And we practiced a couple of like, I'm not going to say pushing breaths, but kind of just that let go. And when I was in having, Lucy was my twin one. So I was having her, the consultant, he was kind of coaching me. He was amazing. He was so lovely. He was coaching me on the breathing and the pushing and that. And I thought of Elaine, and I could feel the minute that I was like, okay, I've let it go now.
Oh, very good.
And he was like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, he got really excited. He was like, oh, this girl knows how to push. I was like, yeah.
I mean, obviously it makes a huge difference, like having that knowledge going in and
day and night. So if there is one thing anyone takes away from this conversation today, it's women's health physio for the win.
Yeah. I'm gonna try and get Aoife on the podcast as well. But actually, let's talk a little bit now. We could go on probably for ages, but let's talk a little bit about postnatal.
Yeah.
Obviously, I haven't been focusing too much on that myself at the moment. If anything, I was just saying to you that I'm going to struggle without training for as long as I can. As long as I have to.
Yeah.
And you know, the typical thing is the doctors do the six-week... Is it doctors six and midwives week. Do a six-week check?
I was referred back to my GP, so your GP will do a six-week check. I'll be honest, 6 week check seems to be more so for the baby or the babies in my experience. So again, I would be booking in with a women's health physio. Yeah. Like when you have that baby, book ahead for the 6 week mark, just to get a really good overview and internal, just to see exactly what's going on. Again, you know, you're obviously going to be training yourself, but if anyone is there working with a personal trainer or somebody like me or you, refer, like, get us in touch with your physio so like that we can find out what's best for you to deliver the best program for you to, you know, really know, because no matter how much we know, we don't know what's happening inside.
Yeah, everyone's so different.
Different. We really have to trust that our client knows their body. And, you know, at the end of every class, I'm like, guys, please just check in with your pelvic floor later on, even if you just set a little alarm on your phone, because it's really busy family life when you've kids and stuff and you're running around. And by the time you sit down in the evening, it might only be then that you're like, oh, like I have a lot of pressure there, or, you know. So working with physio again from a coaching point of view is just amazing for us to be able to really deliver and know what's going on and know I'm giving this person these exercises in this frequency, in this order, because their physio has told me that this is what they need.
Yeah, and I've seen figures thrown around like, oh, 12 weeks you can go back running, but like obviously everyone's pelvic floor is different, everyone's body is different, everyone's abilities are different, you know. So 12 weeks to one person
could be nowhere near enough for another 16 person. Weeks for high impact always, and like I'd always advise maybe start with the couch to 5k. If you do want to return to running, I don't really.
I mean, even with CrossFit, again, it's kind of having those same, I suppose the same idea where like you scale postnatally as well, it, you know, whatever you're able to do. I suppose it's like, it's hard to give advice on a podcast, like a general advice to everyone, but I think the advice is get checked by a physio.
Yeah.
Work with a postnatal qualified PT
if you can, yeah,
and if you can get them to talk to each other,
you're
even better.
Golden, yeah. So
what are things to look out for if say someone's listening to this and they just jumped back in and they're like, I think I'm okay, like,
but not sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so things that we would look out for, that maybe something has gone a little bit awry. So pressure down through the pelvic floor, feeling any like bulging or anything like that, you know, internally or externally, especially after maybe you've gone to the toilet, pain during sex, difficulty inserting a tampon, leaking.
I mean, a lot of women think leaking during training is normal. Like,
Leaking during training is not normal.
It can be fixed.
It can be fixed. Generally, it can. You know, it's great. Again, with women's health videos and coaches like me and you, like, we can get people back, you know, training so that they're dry. Do you know?
Yeah.
Now, again, I always just feel as well, there's kind of an element of shame there if anybody does experience leaking in training, because a lot of people, it's really common, like loads of people do. But
I leaked the other day in the gym and I was like, oh my god, can anyone see me? And I was like, I don't want to leave, but also I was like, hopefully they just think it's sweat.
Oh yeah.
And that's actually like really rare. I think that hadn't happened at all, like, so I actually just think I was twisted in some weird way and coughed or something.
And I think if baby moves in a funny way,
yeah, you know, definitely feeling a lot of movement down there,
goes off like, your bladder, it can just kind of, it's involuntary. But I would always say, like, if you are experiencing anything like that, get to a women's health physio, pull back on your training a little bit. I actually did get a prolapse after having Jacob, because of going back to training too early, too much impact. I actually have a video of my first training session back. It was absolutely ridiculous.
How far along? Or how
I was 6 weeks on the button, like, literally straight back to CrossFit. Prolapse, very expensive and very time consuming to rehabilitate that. Yeah, like, it's serious.
Is that surgery?
No. And like, prolapse isn't always like super serious. It can very often, like, I have zero symptoms now. The odd time, maybe coming up to my period, I might get a little bit symptomatic, and that's just, I know the hormonal changes, my body is just a little bit more lax, so like that I might just pull back from running a little bit. I might not do dubs or double unders. I might do
dubs, that's CrossFit speak,
do single skips or boxing skips or something like that as well, just to pull the impact back down. Again, I'm really lucky to know my body and know what works, but it's years of tracking,
Yeah, I've already making mistakes, like going back too early.
Absolutely. Yeah. We learn so much from our mistakes, but you will be fine. Again, that kind of 6 week wait as well, I think, is really interesting. And I think for people who train, and I'm assuming a lot of your followers are really into training.
I don't know, a bit of everything. I think a bit of everyone follows me now.
People are really eager to get back training and they feel a little bit trapped when it's like, oh, I have to wait for 6 weeks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I am thinking about that. Like, because even when I found out I was pregnant and stopped doing jiu-jitsu, like I think meant, obviously it was first trimester, hormones are all over the place anyway.
Yeah.
But I do think mentally I was not as good as I was in the second trimester, where I was able to train like 4 or 5 times a week.
Well, it's a huge part of your identity.
Yeah.
So when that's taken away from you and you have this massive life change ahead, it's like, whoa.
I know. I'm going to have a lot of a lot of hormones going through my body then at the end, like it's gonna, or sorry, at the start of this new life.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of just being aware of it as well.
Aware,
like I know
it, yeah.
that. And then I think a lot of people obviously hurry out walking as well, you know, and that's actually a lot on your pelvic floor. So you have to limit that as well.
Yeah, so it is like, let's get back to doing our breath work.
I want to show off my new pram.
You can do it around the block. up and down to 3FE. Back to our breath work, back to doing some like really simple deep core stuff, some glute activation. That's all stuff you could probably start at kind of 3-4 weeks postnatal if you wanted to. Like really short sets, even like doing some like squats to the couch, do you know, like nothing loaded, nothing too deep in a range, bird dogs, all that kind of thing. If you just kind of want, or like even banded stuff, like band pull aparts, and do you know, if you just kind of want to move and feel good, there are some things that you can do.
Have you ever done any Pilates specifically? Or
I should say yes, because we have it through all of my programs. We have an amazing Pilates teacher from Faye who teaches weekly classes. I've done one over the last 3 years she's been working for us.
I actually was originally in London. I went to a Pilates studio in Broxham House.
And we did Reformer.
Yeah, and it was actually just four women's health physios that ran the place. So it was like, I felt really safe with them, because I had done a few random Reformer Pilates classes with, you know, like in the big gyms where they're like, oh, you're pregnant, oh, take it easy, you know, without so then like I was afraid to like do any of the hard kind of core work because I was like, I'm pregnant. I'm just thinking back now, I'm like, it was such early days, like I definitely could have done some of the core stuff, but I think the principles of Pilates is a lot of what we talk about, like it's all about that connection breath and engage and like being very aware of the pelvic floor. And I just think all women can benefit from doing some sort of it. It does kind of, sometimes you're like, okay, I need to do Pilates now on top of my yoga, on top of my CrossFit. Like it is kind of a bit of
the list builds up,
a chore of things I need to do. But I do think if people are listening and haven't tried Pilates, I think it is a good place to, if you get a good Pilates instructor, of course, like that can help you understand that. Because, you know, like I think the first time I went to the Reformer in Forsyth in London, she had me feeling, lift your pelvic floor.
Feel your TA, was it?
Yeah. And she was like, no, you're just squeezing your bum. And I was like, or something like that, you know.
That's a lot
of
people
she had to train me to actually, and I was like, because I really thought I knew to brace.
It's such a big thing to actually, like, for somebody actually to be able to locate their pelvic floor. That's what I always say in my classes. I'm like, you know, I cue a pelvic floor squeeze at lift and hold back passage.
Yeah.
But I'm like, we're not squeezing our glutes, we're not lifting our shoulders, we're not lifting our eyebrows. I'm like, it's literally internal. Like, most people just need to do a bit less.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know? So just what we were saying there about training pre 6 weeks as well. If you do actually decide to do that, an indicator maybe that, you know, always following up how your body feels post sessions all of the time, but in particular if you're postnatal in early days, if you do kind of start to notice an increase in your postnatal bleeding or anything like that, that's an indicator that your body's just not ready for that. So even if you do like a short little 10-minute session and that increases, you might just, you know, take it back down. But if you do that short 10-minute session and everything is looking good and everything's kind of stayed the same, then you should be okay to kind of continue that.
God, I can't wait. I feel like I probably will talk more about postnatal maybe on another podcast again when I have more experience in myself. Like at the moment I'm just like prepping for birth. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And postnatal, I think there's a lot more considerations. Like it would be a really big conversation because the body's been through so much.
I saw a meme today that was like, you're giving birth, it's like being in a car accident but being sent home to rehab with another human who's also been in a car accident to look after. It's going to be a lot.
It is. It's going to be a lot, but you'd be amazed how, you know, like a couple of days even in, you're like, how was my life different to this now?
Yeah.
Do you know, it is. It's so amazing. No, you're in for such an adventure. It's going to be amazing.
Hopefully that was helpful for people. I think we covered a lot. I think we gave the information I wanted in like the background of what, you know, we why you choose exercises and not that here's a prenatal workout, you know, because everyone's different. I used to look at some of them and I was like, that's not a workout, you know, like it was obviously a lot of pregnancy safe movements.
Yeah, I know. And that was the issue that I had, you know, post or training in pregnancy and postnatally. I was like, I actually want to train. I want to be challenged.
Yeah.
I just need to know how to be challenged suitably.
Yeah. And it's confidence really as well.
What we pride ourselves on in Empowered Mama and Empowered Movement is training women in a way that is suitably challenging for them.
Yeah. I mean, because the first trimester, you're worried, you know, like there's...
And you're wrecked.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I was doing the bare minimum, but I didn't realize how much more I was capable of. But I just needed the knowledge and the confidence. Then the more knowledge I gained, the more I was like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I felt better and better and was like, okay, yeah, I need to spread the message and hopefully that's
all. I think from a coaching perspective as well, it is just you having the knowledge, the expertise and the experience, you know, is worth its weight in gold for clients, because they're going to be like, she's been through it. She's worked with thousands of women who've been through it. Like, nothing is TMI. I have seen and experienced almost everything myself. So it's just, I'm confident in training somebody, so they're confident training and they enjoy it then. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things.
I know. I can't wait to actually put this qualification to some use now and take on some, now that I'm confident in it, you know, like I can't wait. But if someone's listening and they're like, okay, I need your help prenatal or postnatal, where do they go?
So our website is empoweredmovement.ie. I'm currently empowered_mama_ on Instagram, but that might be changing soon enough, but we'll update that soon.
Search Emma Dowling anyway.
Search Emma Dowling.
Yeah, you'll find me. Still have the same name, hopefully.
Yeah, well, unless there's some drastic change.
Hopefully not. Well, thank you so much for coming today.
Oh, thanks. It's such a great chat.
So I hope you found that episode helpful. As you can tell, it is quite a complicated subject and one that I'm quite passionate about now, and I'm learning a lot about, and I'm excited to do some prenatal coaching when the time is right. And as I said, we're going to do another episode on postnatal, and when I have to worry about that, let's get this baby out of me first. But I'll have Emma's details if you want to look at any of the programs that she offers. I'll put the link in the show notes. And also just to mention flowstate.ie, which is the lovely business where I got my yoga mat and the yoga blocks, which are essential in pregnancy. They have given me 30% off their website. So if you use the code LIFELESSONS30 on flowstate.ie, you can get a huge discount on their top quality sustainable products. And thanks again, and I'll see you in the next episode.